Okay, now we can start talking, guys.
Now we can go. All right.
The next hour, last year we had Dale Hansen and Randy Galloway together. It was fantastic. The FCC reviewed the tapes, decided to not send out any punishment. And
shockingly, I might add.
Shockingly.
Yeah.
Let's see. I was, first of all, stunned to find out that Randy Galloway's older than I am.
Oh, a lot older.
One year.
And by the way, though, I am shocked we got invited back. What the hell happened on that?
I had kind of cleared my schedule after your performance. I thought I was worthy of getting invited back last year, but I knew you weren't coming. I kind of cleared my whole holiday schedule thinking this wasn't going to be a reality again.
Because Hanson and I have done a lot of these over the years, and we might make two, but that's about it. We never make three because we're just not invited back. And here I get that email from you, and I'm going, that damn Norm, man, he must have some power.
Well, there's a chance next year none of the three of us get invited back.
Well, there's a chance next year that one of the three of us won't even be here. So,
that may happen tomorrow. You know,
somebody said to me, Happy New Year, and I said, no, I'm happy every time there is a new year. You know, any time the calendar flips over and I can actually look at it, that's a good year for me.
Okay. Old guys have to do this very quickly. How you feeling, Dale?
Well, I tell you, it was a rough couple of days. Saturday, I had this massive, massive chest pain. Ended up in the hospital Monday night. I'm thinking I'm having a heart attack. I really did. And it turned out I had a swizzle stick with an olive and an onion stuck in my throat. So that part was okay. They then ran some more tests, and this is what they call it, like pericarditis, I think it is. And it was a fluid buildup around my heart, which was a little scary. And then they found out that actually that was a bottle of Mogan David. March of 24.
We found out he had a heart, too.
That shocked a few people.
Shocking.
The Mogan David will eventually wear away, and I should be fine. They've got me on a little pill. But it was, I said to the guy, I swear to you, I said, how do I know the difference between, because Saturday afternoon I was in some serious, now I'm not denying my pain threshold is not real high, but I was in some serious pain Saturday, and Monday I wasn't feeling a whole lot better. And so they put me in the hospital to run these tests and like, but I said, how do I tell the difference between this and a heart attack? And he said, you really don't. So he said, if you just get this, you ought to just come on in. I said, so I got a retainer set up at the Baylor White Hospital down in Waxahachie. I have a room. They just hold it for me, and it's $89 a month to hold it, and then I got to pay after that.
So. Dale Hansen suite?
Yeah. Okay. It's getting there.
Norm, at my old age, my main problem medically is I got to pee all the time. And frankly, right now I got to pee, but we'll move on with the show.
Well, okay. Randy, I tell you what, see this?
Yeah.
It's the clock, 1:20. Figure by 1:27 or 1:28, it's right back into this hallway.
I know.
Okay, you know where it is. Okay.
What seriously is funny, I was talking to one of the guys out here in the crowd a moment ago about this. One of the frustrating things about being 76, which incidentally is the new 68, as we all know, but it is almost every conversation I have begins exactly that way. So how you feeling? What's going on with
your
health?
Exactly right.
I had my knee replaced. You know, the guy's here. The owner comes up. I had my other knee replaced. I don't really care anymore. You know, I just don't. I said, let's talk about my heart situation. I mean, something that matters. I called my buddies back in Iowa, and I said, so how's everything going? I was diagnosed with diabetes, and I got to say, oh, shut up. You know, I wish I could start a conversation without somebody asking me how I'm feeling or me asking them how you're feeling. And quite honestly, you screwed it up and did it again. So
That's the end of the feeling talk.
That's why they pay you the big money.
You guys were at the heart of the action in this city for decades and decades and decades. Do you miss the action, Randy?
Not really, but there are times, and I got to admit it, because, I mean, I was a sports writer for 50 years. I was on the radio 29 years. So When I left, I was 70 years old, and I went, man, it's a good time to leave. And I didn't have to leave, but I said, yeah, it's a good time to leave. I'm really glad I did, because the newspapers are, well, we all know what's happened to newspapers. And I got out when the newspapers were still newspapers. But what I feel very fortunate about is that at the Morning News, a lot of years, and then at the Star Telegram, I was right in the middle when it started in the 80s and right on through into the 2000s. I mean, it was the golden age of journalism and newspapers, and I was right there in the middle of it. And I mean, at the Morning News, I'd started there, and it was really a small time. When I started in 66, you know, just a small-time sports section.
And then Dave Smith happened.
Yeah, and a lot of the Dave Smith happened, and then, but also your corporate has to go, let's blow it out. And, I mean, suddenly we've got unlimited budget, unlimited space, unlimited people. So, I mean, first went to work, we had 12 people in sports when I first went to work at the Morning News. And by about 86, we had over 100.
Sports?
Yeah, we had 12 people covering high schools. And in sports,
Lord.
I mean, it just blew out, and the money was rolling, and, you could cheat on your expense account, particularly on the road, and they didn't say nothing.
No.
And so to see that happen, and what was going on in sports talk radio? I mean, there was nobody doing sports talk radio.
No.
I mean, you had a guy named Brad and a guy named Norm doing an hour a day or an hour of whatever.
Yep.
And I remember when
an hour of whatever.
When the guy named Norm told me, you know what, we're going to move the show to in the morning. I said, nobody's going to listen to sports in the morning. That's impossible. And so, boy, to have been involved in that, that's a long damn answer. Sorry, Dale, go ahead. But I'm very proud of and very fortunate that I was right in the heart of that.
Dale, you missed the action?
No, I don't either. I did 41 years on Dallas television, 50 years in broadcasting, but 41 years on Dallas television. And unlike Galloway, I didn't really have to leave either, although management did shine a light on the hallway so that I could see the exit sign. They wanted to make sure if there was any question, the exit sign was right down here. Right. So they put a light up and kind of steered me in that direction. But no, I worked until I was 73. Unlike Galloway quitting as a puppy, you know, I kept going till 70. There are times, like Randy said, there are times when I'm like, man, I wish I had that platform back for this. But no, it was, I've said this as arrogant, as egotistical, whatever people interpret this as.
That's you.
Yeah, that is me. But I mean, I felt like I just rode that perfect wave, starting in the 70s of local television and sports, through the 80s and 90s into the 2000s. And much like Randy's talking about, I mean, you know, the unlimited budgets that we used to have, the expense accounts that we used to have, we would sit there, cover everything. We'd send crews to every Super Bowl. Then it became a matter of, well, the Cowboys are, and I know most of you don't remember this, but the Cowboys used to be in Super Bowls. And then they would debate as to, you know, well, how deep do we go now? You know, I wish I was 42 again and having these shows and reading Galloway's columns and then arguing about it up at Louis late at night like the good old days. But I can't be 42 again, so I accept it and I move on.
That's Dale Hansen. That's Randy Galloway. I have more questions, but Randy's got to pee. So give us a break, and we'll be right back with you on the ticket.
Boy, Salukis, or whatever their name is, you know. And by the way, the Salukis are paying him $5,000 a game.
I don't know if you guys are aware of this. I'm sure you may well be. Given the COVID years and the red shirt year, and then you get a year back for an injury. Okay?
Yeah.
If you happen to get injured. And then you got 5 years of eligibility. There's a kid at Miami this year, a tight end named McCormick.
Right.
Not a starter. Backup. Does play a bit. He's in his ninth year in college. 9 years. And every one of them has been paid for by somebody.
I heard one the other day, well, it was 7 years. The kid was in his seventh year, and I thought, is this guy like studying to be a lawyer or a surgeon? I mean, what are you possibly doing? Obviously not doing a whole lot in the classroom.
Well, look at up at Oklahoma State. The Bowman kid, the quarterback, was in his eighth year.
Right.
And he's played at Tech. I remember seeing him play in like 78 at Grapevine High School. And he played against Toledo. And I said, that Bowman kid, boy, he looks pretty good. He's been everywhere. He just started, well, they had an awful year, so they don't want him back. He may have had another year. But he played, seriously, 8 years of quarterback in college football.
How many degrees would you have had if somebody paid for 8 years at Sam Houston State, Randy?
Zero, because yeah. I didn't. I would have had a hell of a good time, but I wouldn't have had any degree.
I would have had the same number of degrees that I have now, which is zero. Yeah.
By the way, I'd like to bring, you know, we're talking about two people who have been, I really do mean this, I'm not sucking up to you two. We're talking about two superstar journalists in this city for decades and decades. But it didn't come easy. I've got some quick questions for you guys. Randy, as a kid, how many times did you move around?
A lot. My father worked construction, so I was actually born in Kentucky. And when I was 11 years old, and man, I lived in western Kentucky, a town called Mayfield, greenest place on earth. And my father comes in, the job ran out they were working on in Paducah, building a power plant. He said, well, get packed up as soon as school's out, fifth grade. We're moving to a place called Odessa, Texas. And we packed up that summer, rolled into Odessa. My father was already out there, mother driving, little brother, little sister. We're in the car, and we get a dust storm was moving in. And I thought, this is the end of the damn world right here.
Well, you were right, by the way.
And I didn't see green grass forever after that. But then we were moving, you know, quite a bit. But my mother was always in the newspaper business. And she grew up in a newspaper family. So I always had that little connection with the newspaper business.
Dale's path to stardom was disc jockey.
Yeah.
Then Newton, Iowa.
That's where it started.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Knoxville.
Yep. Yeah.
St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Coldest place in the world.
Omaha.
Radio.
And then to Channel 4.
Well, Channel 3. You skipped KMTV. Channel 3 in Omaha.
I'm sorry. TV in Omaha also.
Yeah.
And then to Dallas,
yeah,
where Channel 4 eventually asked him to leave.
Yeah. Yeah, there wasn't any real asking about it. No. I mean, it was the only part of that story that I still love to this day, and most people know this, but the guy who fired me in Omaha, Nebraska, ended up coming to Channel 4 in Dallas about a year and a half later, and he fired me again. And my contract was nearing the end, so I lived out in Trophy Club back then, 1983. And he calls me at home, and he says, can you come on in? We want to talk about your contract. And I thought, well, yeah, I'll come in a little bit early. And then I come in, and he looks at me and says, yeah, you're done. We're not going to renew your contract. And I swear to you, which I thought was kind of a cool response under the circumstances, and I looked at him, I said, you could have told me that over the phone. I just drove 38 miles past the airport for you to fire me. I said, why didn't you do that over the phone? And then I thought I was dead. I really did. I went in the bathroom, and I just broke down sobbing.
We had a beer after that, and I said, you're dead.
That's you did.
He said, I thought we were going to have a good, long relationship, but obviously we're done.
Now, is it true?
There ain't nobody going to hire Hanson.
No, that's absolutely true. Absolutely true.
Is it true that when you went over to WFAA-TV,
yeah,
Your first contract was for 13 weeks?
13 weeks.
They have a lot of free things.
And I told the great Marty Haig, you can make it for 13 hours, for all I care.
And Norm, remember this, Channel 8, when that happened, we were stunned. And because Channel 8 was the most buttoned-down organization in the world. And Marty ran, boy, you're talking about a tight ship.
Oh, Marty Haig was the best.
And, of course, Vern Lundquist, the great Vern, had been there for, God, since creation. He had been at Channel 8, and he's now going on to a network. And so they've got this opening, and we're figuring another button-down guy. And then they make the announcement hiring Dale Henson, who had just taken off these funny-ass hats. Always one of these on the air at Channel 4, you know, and popping balloons.
Yeah, get your dump button ready, but let me give you the best story ever. Vern was in at Doral for CBS, the golf broadcast.
Yes.
The day they hire me. And Vern gets back to the golf course after the Thursday round, and there's a message there. Call Marty Haig immediately. And even the great Vern Lundquist said, you know, you never really know in this business, right? You never know. And so Vern calls Marty Haig, and Marty says, and this is absolutely true, Marty Haig says to him, are you sitting down? And he said, well, I am now. Why? And he goes, we just hired Dale Hansen to do the 10 o'clock sports. And
well, and by the way, you ought to hear Vern tell this story.
But it was true.
Vern is going, they've lost their damn mind. They have our Vern is going nuts. And we ran into Vern. He's going, that's it.
I come walking in. He's tapping me on the cheek and says, you know, welcome to the big leagues. You know, we don't do a lot of that high school crap like you did over at Channel 4. Because that's really what put me on the map originally was I started covering high school football on TV. The papers had always covered it, but no one on TV had covered it. And Vern's tapping me on the cheek, and then here comes Terry Ford, the station manager who had hired me, and he goes, so what's the first high school game we're going to cover? And I just sat back in my chair and went, oh, this is going to be a fun 13 weeks.
Okay, let's go to break. I've got a 30-second Vern Lundquist story. Vern is doing soccer, and he's doing, I think it was Dallas Tornado, and they had a defender, a good defender named Neil Cohen. I don't know if that name. Okay. So Vern's.
You got me.
You lost me when you said soccer.
Well, I think they were doing the. In fact, I'm certain they were doing the game in Hawaii. So Vern's doing the game, and all of a sudden, Vern stops talking for about 5 seconds. And he says, wait a minute, there's a delay. There's a woman running on the field. She's running up to Neil Cohen. She placed a lay on him. And then there's another second, about 5 second pause, and Vern, one octave lower, says, you do realize a lay is a wreath of flowers. More with Dale and Randy next on The Ticket.
Amen. I mean, money makes it roll right there. But they've got it now. Oh, what a mess. And I actually kind of like the thought. Oh, this NIL, okay, they're going to pay these players. And this portal, yes, okay. Now it's not okay. I mean, we all know because it has changed, as Dale said.
Oh, the announcers just drive me nuts. Drive me nuts.
A guy's been at four schools, and he just signed up for – this is school number 5 he's playing for, the Southern Illinois Salukis or whatever their name is, you know. And by the way, the Salukis are paying him $5,000 a game.
I don't know if you guys are aware of this. I'm sure you may well be. Given the COVID years and the red shirt year, and then you get a year back for an injury, okay,
if
you happen to get injured, and then you got 5 years of eligibility. There's a kid at Miami this year, a tight end named McCormick.
Right.
Not a starter, backup, does play a bit. He's in his ninth year in college. 9 years. And every one of them has been paid for by somebody.
I heard one the other day, well, it was 7 years. The kid was in his seventh year, and I thought, is this guy like studying to be a lawyer or a surgeon? I mean, what are you possibly doing? Obviously not doing a whole lot in the classroom.
Well, look at Oklahoma State. The Bowman kid, the quarterback, was in his eighth year.
Right.
And he's played at Tech. I remember seeing him play in like 78 at Grapevine High School. And he played against Toledo. And I said, that Bowman kid, boy, he looks pretty good. He's been everywhere. He just started. Well, they had an awful year, so they don't want him back. He may have had another year. But he played, seriously, 8 years of quarterback in college football.
How many degrees would you have had if somebody paid for 8 years at Sam Houston State, Randy?
Zero, because yeah. I would have had a hell of a good time, but I wouldn't have had any degree.
I would have had the same number of degrees that I have now, which is zero.
By the way, I'd like to bring, you know, we're talking about two people who have been, I really do mean this, I'm not sucking up to you two. We're talking about two superstar journalists in this city for decades and decades. But it didn't come easy. I've got some quick questions for you guys. Randy, as a kid, how many times did you move around?
A lot. My father worked construction, so I was actually born in Kentucky. And when I was 11 years old, and, man, I lived in western Kentucky, a town called Mayfield, greenest place on earth. And my father comes in. The job ran out they were working on in Paducah, building a power plant. He said, well, get packed up as soon as school's out, fifth grade. We're moving to a place called Odessa, Texas. And we packed up that summer. Rolled into Odessa. My father was already out there, mother driving, little brother, little sister. We're in the car, and we get a dust storm was moving in, and I thought, this is the end of the damn world right here.
Well, you were right, by the way.
And I didn't see green grass forever after that, but then we were moving, you know, quite a bit, but my mother was always in the newspaper business, and she grew up in a newspaper family, so I always had that little connection with the newspaper business.
Dale's path to stardom was disc jockey.
Yeah.
Then Newton, Iowa.
That's where it started.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Knoxville.
Yep. Yeah.
St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Coldest place in the world.
Ooh. Omaha
radio,
and then to Channel 4.
Well, Channel 3, you skipped KMTV, Channel 3 in Omaha.
I'm sorry, TV in Omaha also.
Yeah.
And then to Dallas, where Channel 4 eventually asked him to leave.
Yeah. There wasn't any real asking about it. No. I mean, it was... The only part of that story that I still love to this day, and most people know this, but the guy who fired me in Omaha, Nebraska, ended up coming to Channel 4 in Dallas about a year and a half later, and he fired me again. And my contract was nearing the end, so I lived out in Trophy Club back then, 1983. And he calls me at home, and he says, can you come on in? We want to talk about your contract. And I thought, well, yeah, I'll come in a little bit early. And then I come in, and he looks at me and says, yeah, you're done. We're not going to renew your contract. And I swear to you, which I thought was kind of a cool response under the circumstances, and I looked at him, I said, you could have told me that over the phone. I just drove 38 miles past the airport for you to fire me. I said, why didn't you do that over the phone? And then I thought I was dead. I really did. I went in the bathroom, and I just broke down sobbing.
I mean, we had a beer after that, and I said, you're dead.
That's you did.
Because
he said, I thought we were going to have a good, long relationship, but obviously we're done.
Now, is it true?
There ain't nobody going to hire Hanson.
Nobody. No, that's absolutely true. Absolutely true.
Is it true that when you went over to WFAA-TV, your first contract was for 13 weeks?
13 weeks.
They had a lot of
things. And I told the great Marty Haig, you can make it for 13 hours, for all I care.
And Norm, remember this, Channel 8, when that happened, we were stunned. And because Channel 8 was the most buttoned-down organization in the world. And Marty ran, boy, you're talking about a tight ship.
Oh, Marty Hague was the best.
And, of course, Vern Lundquist, the great Vern, had been there for, God, since creation. He had been at Channel 8, and he's now going on to a network. And so they've got this opening, and we're figuring another button-down guy. And then they make the announcement hiring Dale Hansen, who had just taken off these funny-ass hats. Always wore these on the air at Channel 4, you know, and popping balloons.
Yeah, get your dump button ready, but let me give you the best story ever. Vern was in at Doral for CBS, the golf broadcast.
Yes.
The day they hired me. And Vern gets back to the golf course after the Thursday round, and there's a message there. Call Marty Hague immediately. And even the great Vern Lundquist said, you know, you never really know in this business, right? You never know. And so Vern calls Marty Hague, and Marty says, and this is absolutely true, Marty Hague says to him, are you sitting down? And he said, well, I am now. Why? And he goes, we just hired Dale Hansen to do the 10 o'clock sports. And
well, and by the way, you ought to hear Vern tell this story.
But it was true.
Vern is going, they've lost their damn mind. They have our Vern is going nuts. And we ran into Vern. He's going, that's it.
I come walking in. He's tapping me on the cheek and he says, you know, welcome to the big leagues. You know, we don't do a lot of that high school crap like you did over at Channel 4. Because that's really what put me on the map originally was I started covering high school football on TV. The papers had always covered it, but no one on TV had covered it. And Vern's tapping me on the cheek, and then here comes Terry Ford, the station manager who had hired me, and he goes, so what's the first high school game we're going to cover? And I just sat back in my chair and went, oh, this is going to be a fun 13 weeks.
Okay, let's go to break. I've got a 30-second Vern Lundquist story. Vern is doing soccer, and he's doing, I think it was Dallas Tornado, and they had a defender, a good defender named Neil Cohen. I don't know if that name. Okay. So Vern's.
You got me.
You lost me when you said soccer.
Well, I think they were doing the. In fact, I'm certain they were doing the game in Hawaii. So Vern's doing the game, and all of a sudden, Vern stops talking for about 5 seconds. And he says, wait a minute, there's a delay. There's a woman running on the field. She's running up to Neil Cohen. She placed a lay on him. And then there's another second, about 5 second pause, and Vern, one octave lower, says, you do realize a lay is a wreath of flowers. More with Dale and Randy next on The Ticket.
Hey, welcome to Galloway and Hanson on The Ticket today.
We had to get rid of Norm.
Well, it was only a matter of time before we took over the whole show.
We'll be here until 9 tonight. Yeah. Stop on by. Free beer, free women, whatever.
Okay.
Well, now I think the first one's working now. So
it's okay.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Hey.
Nice work over there, young man.
Mike.
He's just a kid. He's a kid learning the business. It will happen.
Me being on or off, Mike, didn't matter if I had any control of this segment because I don't. Okay, I saved this topic for the third segment. Your opinion of the Cowboys and what's happening with the franchise.
What I do like about this is, I said this basically 20 years ago, and got criticized for it a lot. That Jerry Jones has created an unbelievably horrific culture with the Cowboys, and they're not going to win. They're not going to win. And Dan McDowell in particular on The Ticket, and Bob Sturm a little bit, would just rip into me. Oh, you're just bitter. You're just angry. You're just trying to make a name for yourself by blasting the Cowboys. It's a horrible structure. What he's doing with Mike McCarthy now is just a continuation of all the nonsense. Paying Dak Prescott $60 million and then telling me you can't afford to sign Derrick Henry because you gave $60 million to maybe the 10th best quarterback in the NFL, making him the highest paid player in the NFL, and you can't afford to sign Derrick Henry? I mean, this organization has been a joke for more than 20 years, and I said so 20 years ago, and they just keep proving me right year after year after year.
Well, you know, I was saying a long time ago also, and writing it, saying it on the radio, that nothing will ever change with the Cowboys until Jerry dies. Unfortunately, he's going to outlive us all.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
By God, he is out. He's even, Jerry is 6 months older than me, so he's outliving me even. And he may outlive us all, but nothing will change as long as Jerry keeps himself in charge. And I mean, I don't see – this time, though, I think he really trapped himself, Norm, because I've got – if we lined up, made a list of all the Jerry disasters over the years, I think this is the – this past offseason – this season has been number three. Number one, and when the Jimster leaves town, when a franchise, and it, you know, over drunkenness and stupidity, and I don't mind the drunkenness, but I hate stupidity.
Right.
And so they blew up.
But Jimmy, I mean, Jimmy wanted to go, though.
Oh, bull.
No, he did, too.
Jimmy didn't want to go while they were winning.
No, well.
While they're winning.
He's
Super
never
Bowl.
Been anywhere more than 5 years.
Oh, and I heard that BS.
Yeah, well, it's true. It's true.
Well, it wasn't true because he never had that kind of winning. Nobody wants to leave. They could have won two more Super Bowls.
Easily.
Then Jimmy is the number one deal. The number two deal was Bill Parcells.
Yep.
When Bill Parcells said, I don't want that wide receiver, and Jerry Jones said, no, I want El Dorado Owens. That ran, and that's his name, by the way, El Dorado. You know that.
Yes,
okay. As he told us, he couldn't fire Bill Parcells, but he knew bringing in Owens would basically lead to Bill Parcells quitting because, as the great Jerry Jones quote to us was, it just wasn't fun for him with Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells would have got that team back to the Super Bowl.
Oh, he had it going.
Oh.
He found this quarterback named Romo.
Yeah, piece of cake.
And out of nowhere, and it was rolling. And then, but Jerry wanted to run him off. Now, this is number three. Greatest screw-ups in Jerry history. And, boy, that's a long list. Because of what happened this last offseason. The man goes public like, I don't give a damn. I'll just say what I want to say. And he says, I'm all in.
Oh,
I'm all in. Absolute lie. He was all out. He wasn't all in. And so we see the product of being all out when they just let players go. They didn't sign players. And he brings in Zeke. Zeke! You know, but
I think that's only because Emmett wouldn't play again. I think he wanted to bring Emmett back, but he just couldn't get him to agree.
Well, guys, I hear exactly what you're saying. There's no earthly idea to think it's better next year. The big contract of Dak is there. The big contract of CeeDee Lamb is there. The big contract of Parsons is coming. The big contract of Diggs is there. The big contract of Tyler Smith is coming. And we're going to... Already, Stephen Jones is saying, man, we don't have much money to spend this offseason. And you can't have a team where three or four guys are eating up 50 or 60% of the cap and all the other fifth-rounders are supposed to be good.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't think so, but Jerry does, obviously. I think you're exactly right. I mean, 60 million, and I like Dak Prescott, I really do, but 60 million for him is just obscene. And I would also argue $34 million for CeeDee Lamb is a bit obscene.
Well,
I mean, yeah, he's a good receiver, but you can find those guys. You can find those guys.
Wide receivers are probably the easiest thing to find in the
NFL
these
days. I think so.
Quarterbacks aren't.
No.
And I mean, I love Dak, but I'll admit I gave up Green Bay playoffs. Back in January, I just gave up on Dak, and I hated to quit him, But overpaid, yeah. But you almost got to overpay your quarterback. But, boy, you got to watch what you pay everybody else.
Well, if you overpay your quarterback and he isn't the man,
That's
when you get caught.
That's the key.
I think Jerry Jones is an unbelievable businessman who has obviously negotiated some incredible deals. So how is it that he sits across the table from a 29-year-old guy and just loses every aspect of that negotiation? I mean, isn't it possible for him to say, Dak, here's the deal. You're not the best player in the game, but I am going to make you independently wealthy. Since you play for the Dallas Cowboys, we'll also bring in people around you. You'll win a couple of Super Bowls, and then you'll just sit back and collect money for the rest of your life doing commercials, never buy a beer again, etc. How could he not make that argument?
Well,
and if Dak's not willing to accept that, I would have said, nice seeing you. I'll find somebody else. I promise you I would have.
Sports owners are stupid. And I don't care what you – Jerry was a nothing up in Arkansas. A former Razorback. People recognize him for that. He was in the oil business. He was in old drilling holes. Well, really, nobody gives a damn. Now, he had a lot of money, and then he buys the Dallas Cowboys, boom. And you look at any owner that just like that, whether it's baseball, whether it's football, basketball, they all go nuts. Now, what, depending on how I've done at Lone Star Park, betting horses, I've got $50 left, and I'm going to take that to Jerry, and Jerry invest it. I would give Jerry all the money I got and tell him, invest, Jerry, because you're going to make money. The man is brilliant at making money. But you put him in the sports arena, and he's an idiot. I mean, it just comes down to he goes bleeping nuts. But they all do it. Look at him. Every one
Most
of them
do it.
It.
Most of them do it. Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
Is there a good owner anywhere?
Oh, yeah.
There's got to be.
No. Here's a good owner. I'll describe the person. He buys a team. He's got a lot of money.
Clint Merkerson.
And he says, I don't know a flipping thing about putting a team together. So I'm going to hire John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan.
Let
them put a staff together. I'm going to hire Andy Reid. I'm going to hire Brett Veach to be the general manager. And then I'm going to keep my damn hands off them. I'm going to sit back and cheer like hell and let the money roll in.
There are those people. Named a couple, and I've given up on finding one.
If Jerry Jones had done that, if Jerry Jones had basically followed the blueprint of a Clint Merkerson, for example, hired Jimmy Johnson, brings in the great staff, gets all the great players, wins Super Bowls, every kid in Texas and in many parts of America every high school kid would be graduated from Jerry Jones High.
Yep.
They would be building statues all over Frisco of Jerry Jones. They would be naming buildings all over Texas for Jerry Jones. And I don't know why he didn't want that. Now there's going to be a day when, thank God, we finally moving on from Jerry Jones. And he deserves better than that, he should have deserved better than that. But he doesn't now because I think this franchise is absolutely dead until he is.
Hey, lads, it's fun.
I want to say one thing, if I may, before we go. You've been doing this for years. Always happy to be a part of it. There's not many people that I would drive an hour and a half in a thunderstorm to help raise money. But what this man does for the Austin Street Center for the Homeless is incredible. But here's what I have to point out to you. 50 years plus of doing the picks of the poll on Friday.
Uh-oh.
Every Friday you tune in, you get the picks of the polls as to how to bet the college and NFL games on the weekend. 50 plus years, the picks of the polls from Norm Hitchkiss. That's why most of those people who were listening to Norm on Friday are living at the Austin Street Center now. But what you do, sir, to help out is an incredible thing. That's
right. Randy, Dale, I love this.
Good job, Norm.
I love this. Hey,
I did cuss you in the middle of that thunderstorm. Right about Grapevine today. But, hey, I plowed on through. It kept the truck going.
I'll make you a deal. If they're all above grass next year, let's meet here again.
Look forward to it.
I plan on, well, I don't know.